This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS, and it's 6 o'clock, Tuesday, December 25th, 1945. This is Jack McKenna saying, ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. The Fair and Square Kids will be in with a song. Harriet's got some Christmas traditions for you and hot apple cider to go along with it.
With Engineer Joe in charge of the mistletoe.
Just to add an element of danger to our evening.
I'm still looking for the best place to put it. I figured I had the perfect place over the door to the ladies' room, but they didn't like that.
Sounds like a perfect place for mistletoe to me.
Shush. Well, go figure, women. People rob banks because that's where the money is, so this made sense to me.
The first peacetime Christmas is sponsored by Valley Brook Farm Creamery. They send a truckload of Christmas greetings to you. And Merry Christmas, Lou.
Merry Christmas, Jack, and good listeners. A world savaged by war is celebrating the first peacetime Christmas since 1938. We begin our World Shortwave Report from London.
Is London calling? Webb Miller, your correspondent. The war-weary world rejoices today as the first peacetime Christmas in 6 years. But the celebration is muffled as shortages of heating fuel, clothing, and food make for suffering in many lands. Some of the hardships are being alleviated by American GIs unable to be home this Christmas, filled in for Santa Claus and brought Yuletide joy to those of whom the birthday of the Prince of Peace had long lost its true significance. In the little town of Bethlehem, the nearly 2,000-year-old miracle which founded the Christian religion was reenacted at midnight. It occurred in the Church of the Nativity before an overflow crowd of pilgrims from all over the world, many in uniform. Broadcasting his traditional message to the world from the Vatican, Pope Pius XII laid totalitarianism as the source of human suffering. Pope Pius called for collaboration and goodwill in all people. Here in England, civilians are still on wartime rations, but they made a brave effort to uphold the reputation of John Bull's Yuletide bounty by sharing to their best the depleted largesse with thousands of American servicemen still waiting to return to the States. And the Yanks reciprocated, not only in England, but wherever the season found them. The same story came from the world over, where American servicemen are still billeted. From India, China, the South Pacific, the Philippines, Bulgaria, Romania, Austria, and Iceland. The Danish children sent their own playthings to England. An RAF plane parachuted the life-size Santa Claus, stuffed with goodies to excited children in Java. Even German prisoners of war in Leicester, England, worked with penknives and scrap wood to make toys for children of the countryside. In many lands short on food and fuel, the season held more threat than promise. In cold, war-torn Poland, United Nations Relief sent 100,000 gift parcels. Italy, with little spare coal, was grateful for unseasonably warm weather. Berlin, in ruins, still managed to collect some $300,000 for gifts and food. Some restaurant owners offered free meals to children. Russia, which does not officially observe Christmas as a holiday, still did not spare available cheer. In London, is Webb Miller calling the States. Come in, Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Lyle C. Wilson United Press. A Christmas gift from President Truman restored full citizenship today on thousands of ex-convicts who served the nation's armed forces during World War II. Mr. Truman proclaimed all people who had violated federal law and served honorably for 1 year or more after July 29, 1941, to be pardoned. Attorney General Tom Clark says there are more than 2,000 federal prisoners who were paroled to enter the Army. Several thousand others were inducted after they served their sentences. A large number were also in the Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard. But Clark says it is not sure how many that includes. Mr. Truman received word that the Big Three Foreign Ministers Conference in Moscow has recessed for Christmas. They agreed to call a 21-nation peace conference on May 1st to consider treaties with Italy, Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, and Finland, all countries who sided with the Axis powers. Meanwhile, Secretary of State James Burns is the guest of Premier Joseph Stalin for Christmas Eve dinner in the Kremlin. A Chinese communist spokesman in Chongqing says they will submit an unconditional truce in that country's civil war. The truce suggests both sides freeze their troops where they are in North China. No word if nationalist leader General Chiang Kai-shek will agree, even though he is being driven back by the communist troops. Finally, President Truman is stuck in Washington because of bad weather. He is hoping to make it to his home in Missouri and celebrate the holiday. But, alas, the presidential plane, nicknamed the Sacred Cow, is grounded. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
From Nuremberg, 12 of the defendants of the mass Nazi war trial joined in a simple Christmas service in a stone cell at Nuremberg prison last night. They heard a Christmas sermon, sang carols, and said the Lord's Prayer. The service was conducted by Protestant chaplain Henry Gerke of St. Louis. He said all the defendants joined in the singing and that the service was simple and devout. Attending were Hermann Göring, Joachim von Ribbentrop, Admiral Karl Dönitz, Albert Speer, Chalmers Schacht, William Frick, and Walter Funk. West Coast Hearths and Hearts opened to 170,000 returning servicemen from the Pacific. In an extraordinary show of support, people from San Diego to Seattle gave the men stranded their best Christmas that they could manage. Soldiers and sailors and Marines streamed in from staging areas and ships' holds to private homes, clubs, and religious centers where they could worship and be entertained in true Christmas fashion. Rare was the serviceman who did not have a bulging gift box and an invitation to dinner. In fact, in San Francisco, port officials said, there were more turkey dinner invitations from people to servicemen than that there were servicemen. KUWS Radio News Time, 607. Jack McKenna has this word from our sponsor.
Just think, a year ago, guys were freezing and fighting in the Argonne and Belgium in the Battle of the Bulge, and others were in Pacific jungles cutting their way to Tokyo.
It's been a long, historic year.
I'm glad the guys don't have to have their Christmas dinner at some mess hall. Oh, yeah, the commercial. Valley Brook Farm Creamery. Oh, that sounds so good. Eric Brothers are the proprietors. A truckload of greetings from those folks on this most joyous occasion. We want to thank you for your past patronage, and we look forward to serving you through 1946 in the same friendly spirit. I'll drink to that. Milk, of course. Merry Christmas, everybody, from Valley Brook Farm Creamery.
60 veterans of the Naval Aviation Service in the Pacific want to start an airline with flights between Chicago and Superior and Duluth. They've raised more than $100,000 and have brought a twin-engine light transport plane, but they need approval from the Civil Aeronautics Board. The 60 men are incorporated as Northern Airlines. Group leader Jack Kavanaugh says they have support of several Duluth banks. Norman Reckdahl has returned to the Ashland Police Force after serving 2 years in the Pacific with the Seabees. Officer Reckdahl served in New Guinea, Philippines, Samar, and Calcun. We have a heartwarming story from Hayward. A wounded vet is brought home for the holidays, surprising both the lad and his family. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story from Hayward.
By Army car and ambulance, 20-year-old wounded war veteran Melvin Green left a Galesburg, Illinois hospital to spend Christmas with his family here. Melvin Green was wounded by shrapnel in Italy November 11, 1944, and he spent the last year in Army hospitals. He's partially paralyzed and uses a wheelchair. His visit was arranged by the Hayward American Legion, and came as a complete surprise to Green's family, who live in the woodland area north of Hayward. They found out only after they saw him come in on a stretcher to the family home. World War I veteran Roy Hamblin got a letter from Melvin telling him he had furlough but no money to get home. Hamblin took the problem up with the rest of his Legion buddies, and they unanimously agreed to raise money to get Melvin back home. It was a lot of work. They had to go through the Red Cross. They wired congressmen to intercede to get the Army car for the 500-mile trip. In Hayward, Melvin was transferred to an ambulance and taken to his home, a log cabin 28 miles north of here. There, he once again saw his mom and dad, sisters Donna Mae and Doris Jean, and six-year-old little brother Kenneth. Melvin's first words were, "My sisters and brother have sure grown big." Merry Christmas from Hayward, Lou.
Thanks, KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson. Honors of having their first Christmas baby in Douglas County go to a Wentworth couple. Mr. and Mrs. Chauncey Wilmot are parents of a baby girl born in St. Mary's Hospital in Superior at 3:57 this morning. Not far behind was baby John Preston Sorensen, born just before noon at St. Joseph's Hospital. His parents are Mr. and Mrs. Olaf Sorensen, otherwise known as Fire Chief Sorensen. Jack.
Hey, firemen are always the first ones to the scene. You'd think little John Preston would be, too.
Well, there are some things that even firefighters can't control.
Thanks, Lou Martin. The ho-ho-ho-inest newsman around. Let's check the forecast for this Christmas night, 1945. Our first peacetime Christmas is a white one, folks. Some snow tonight and tomorrow, with fresh easterly winds. There goes that lake again, causing some drifting snow. Tomorrow's high will be 29 degrees. And it's Christmas music time. Let's kick things off with Sleigh Ride on the Martin and McKenna Merry Christmas Show.
just enjoyed the sleigh ride on Station KUWS.
Joe, no, 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 without kissing Joe, no, no, no.
If you don't mind, seeing as how we're on the air and we have a guest coming in.
Well, sorry. Well, don't let my Christmas cheer get in the way of the grumpy old news puss. Anyway, I'm finished. Found a perfect spot, too, right over the studio door. That good-looking traffic lady, Betty, comes in to get the daily logs every evening about this time. Should be here any second by my calculations. And I'll be conveniently standing right here under the mistletoe.
Anyway, let me introduce Superior Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy. No, 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 not him.
Hey, you're not Betty? Huh, good thing. It'd be bad if Betty had a 5 o'clock shadow like that one.
I prefer to shake hands, thank you.
Boy, that was disgusting. And great. Joe kissed Morgan Murphy.
Please forgive us, Mr. Murphy.
Well, that's the second time I've been kissed by some guy today. Don't ask me about the first. Anyway, I have an important editorial here, if I may.
I'm going to the sink and wash.
Go ahead, Mr. Murphy. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Though peace on earth may be new and precarious, this should be a Merry Christmas for most of us. This is not the year to rejoice with reservation, for there are too many who deserve to celebrate with heartfelt joy. If there are any who have happy holidays with accrued interests coming to them, it's the kids who have to put up with a lot from a badly managed adult world. Wartime Christmases have been particularly trying for the older generation of small fry whose memories go back beyond Pearl Harbor. They remember the bicycles, the skates, the electric trains, the sturdy metal trucks and fire engines, all of them new and shiny. But shortages have reduced ersatz substitutes. So wartime Christmases have been incomplete to these youngsters. They've needed a father who was something more than a picture on the Christmas table or a vaguely remembered person who was far away fighting the war. Needless to say, it has been tough on the absent dads and mothers who did double parental duty while trying to explain why Daddy wasn't home. But the wartime Christmases are past. Many fathers are home, and many more even now on the last lap of the journey that will bring them back for a reunion that is the best and most treasured gift of all. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Evening Telegram publisher Morgan Murphy.
That was beautiful.
No need to kiss me again.
I'll say. Here's a new Christmas song just for you kids. This is Gene Autry, and here comes Santa Claus on the Martin and McKenna Kissing Bandit Christmas Show.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Blixin' and blixin' and all his reindeers pullin' on the reins. Bells are ringin', children singin', all is merry and bright. So hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle, oh, what a beautiful sight. So jump in bed and cover your head, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, he loves you just the same. Santa Claus knows we're all God's children, that makes everything right. So fill your hearts with Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when chimes ring out that it's Christmas morn again. Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light.
So let's give thanks to the Lord above, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Come Santa Claus, here come Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen, all his reindeers pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Brand new this Christmas, that's Gene Autry, and here comes Santa Claus on station KUWS.
Hot rum toddy cider, everyone.
Now you're talking.
You're such a thoughtful woman, Harriet.
I'm standing under the mistletoe, Lewis.
Hey, so she is.
I was hoping Lewis would take advantage of the situation.
Well, don't look at me. I mean, no offense, but kissing you would be like kissing my sister. I mean, we're friends.
And there are people around.
I know, Lewis. No public displays of affection. He's still shocked at all that public kissing on VJ Day.
Huh. Newsman. Kind of prudish, eh, Lewis?
There's a right time and a place for those things.
I'd just like to know when and where that is someday, Lewis. I do have all kinds of Yule news. A veteran of Pearl Harbor and a local girl are now man and wife after a Christmas wedding this afternoon. It's so exciting. Miss Helen Kaveham, daughter of the Gilbert Kavehams of 21st Street, became the bride of Franklin Walsh, son of Mr. Leo Walsh of Belknap Street, in a ceremony performed by Reverend Paul Bowe at Concordia Lutheran Church. Mrs. Walsh is a graduate of Superior Central High School. The groom graduated from Central and attended Superior State Teachers College before entering the service in 1940. Besides being in Pearl Harbor during the December 7th attack, Mr. Walsh also saw action in New Guinea, in Leyte, and Luzon in the Philippines. And the bride's white gown was gorgeous. It had a bodice of satin with full net skirt extending into a long train.
Choo-choo!
Oh, Jack, really?
A Christmas wedding, huh? Pretty shrewd.
He only has to buy her one gift for two occasions.
I'll bet when Reverend Bowe read the vows, it went something like this. You promise to love and obey.
That's my favorite part.
And buy her two gifts every December 25th. One for Christmas, one for their anniversary. Till death do you part.
I think it's best to remove the cider from the room. Excuse me.
Good idea, Lewis. Christmas at the Superior Children's Home is a happy one, thanks to many patrons and the Elks. The Tots slowly descended the stairs of the home, singing Christmas carols. They ended up at the foot of a great big Christmas tree, where every child had a present waiting. The Children's Home and Refuge Association is supported by the annual Elks Charity Dance every January.
Got a date for that ball, Jack, old boy?
First you kiss Morgan Murphy, then you ask me to dance?
No. It's just wondering, that's all. Hang on. Good cider-rooney. Seems hard to get a date these days now that the servicemen are coming back home.
Bertha's already asked me. You know, she runs Bertha's Tavern.
Big Bertha?
She's not so big. Boy. Anyway, she lets me win wrestling matches.
Well, that's big of her.
Yes, boys, very topical. The Girl Scouts have a busy Yule. Their slogan is Citizenship in Action Around the World for the first peacetime Christmas. They've been collecting baby food and dolls that will go to the overseas relief in friendship bags. Another troop visited the old people's home and sang carols and gave little gifts to the old folks.
Good old Girl Scouts.
Sweet little things.
Too bad they have to wear those green dresses.
A real shame.
And that, Lewis, is the community news.
Nice report. Sorry about the interruptions.
Fortunately, the Fair and Square kids are next. They're the only ones who can save this show now.
This is good cider, Harriet.
Easy, easy on that cider, Joe. You remember what happened in 38.
Well, you never let me forget that. It was a moment of weakness. And you're to blame, you and your special and very potent eggnog. I'm vulnerable to Nog.
Leading to broken angels on Christmas tree tops, too.
At least he bounced pretty good after the fall.
Well, I've always been pretty rubbery.
Here's a very fine Christmas number, friends. Paul Robeson and Mary Had a Baby.
On the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. That's Paul Robeson with Lawrence Brown on the piano.
Hello, boys and girls.
Uncle Bob!
I like Uncle Bob. Good old Uncle Bob.
Merry Christmas. My friend Santa Claus told me to tell all of you fair and square club kids, ho, ho, ho.
Santa's a good fellow, too, but not too much of a vocabulary.
Did you bring stories and poems for Uncle Bob?
And I brought a picture I drew.
I know you did. She reached a Kansy, a station being superior. It's a lovely picture.
I call it Back Home for Keats. I drew a daddy picking up his son. They're so happy he's home. It made my mother cry.
Oh, the way they're looking at each other. Oh, what a sweet picture, Terry.
Thank you. You smell strange.
Huh?
And you kids will sing Uncle Bob a Christmas carol?
Yes, Uncle Bob. We've been practicing. It's hard because Dickie's voice keeps changing.
That's okay, Dickie. Things change when you're growing up, you know.
All right, what's going on here? All this noise and all these lights on in my college on Christmas night?
Welcome, Colonel Jim Danhill, president of Superior State Teachers College. We're just having our annual Christmas radio show, sir.
He's scary. Big and scary.
Yeah, real big and real scary.
We're about to hear stories from the fair and square kids.
Stories? Well, if stories you want, look no farther, because you've got Colonel Jim Danhill at your service.
How does our show always disintegrate so quickly?
What is it with colonels in our show, anyway? Okay, kids, and would you like to hear a hopefully short story from Colonel Jim Danhill?
Okay, I suppose.
Maybe. No.
If we have to.
Great. Okay, Colonel, let's hear your story.
It was 1 year ago, the worst Christmas of my life, so it was also the most memorable. I was commanding a group of heavy artillery battalions deployed from the Herzen Forest to Manchow. After the Germans attacked 10 days before, I'd seen the disheartening chaos of an army going on the defensive.
You were in the Battle of the Bulge?
The one and only. Christmas was a slack day at group headquarters, so I decided to earn my pay by visiting each gun of the 200th Battalion. I figured I'd wish each gun crew a Merry Christmas, see if they got the Christmas turkey sent to the front, exude confidence of a big victory soon over the German panzers. In short, I'd give a good morale kick in the... All right. Sorry, kids.
That's okay, Mr. Colonel. I grew up on a farm.
Yeah. The turkeys had arrived in time in the mail, 5 days delayed, got to the boys on Christmas Day. Tinsel and Christmas seals littered the floor of each dugout. More than once, my visits were interrupted by the shout of fire mission. They pumped a few rounds on some target designated by the 1st Infantry Division. But I have to say, the men were happy to see me. I asked one guy in Battery C about that. He said, well, what the hell? Right. Sorry again, kids. Anyway, he said, we're always happy to see colonels and especially generals. I was feeling pretty puffed up and proud. Then he said, we figure it's a safe day at the front when the rank comes around. Like that story, Bob? Glad to be home. Got back just a couple of weeks ago. Glad to stop by. This kind of makes me feel good.
Now let's hear Joan Finstad of Gordon. She's our second place story winner. She'll get $1 in cash as a prize. Hello, dear.
Thanks, Uncle Bob. I can get 100 pieces of penny candy now.
Or one piece of dollar candy.
There's no such thing as a dollar candy bar.
I've always dreamed of a huge, big dollar candy bar.
This is Christmas in Europe by Joan Finstad. That's me. It was in Europe on a Christmas night. The snow was falling soft and light. A little boy roamed the street. He was cold and ragged with nothing to eat. The cruel war had come and destroyed all when he was young and very small. He never heard carols sung or Christmas bells softly rung. A GI saw the little lad with face so thin and very sad. He thought of kids in the USA and how happy they were on Christmas Day. He gave the boy his jacket to wear. The soldier was chilly, but he didn't care. He fed the boy his rations too. He thought, it's the least that I can do. Far off, bells were softly rung, and Christmas carols sweetly sung. Down the streets walked the two. 'Twas the happiest Christmas they ever knew.
Isn't that sweet, Joan? A story with lots of heart.
Yeah, that kind of gets you right in the old blood pump.
Now that's just perfect. What kind of language is that to use around kids? Old blood pump?
I'm not used to kids. Sorry about that, youngins.
Old blood pump. That's pretty neat. Wait till I tell my teacher.
And yet another petition from parents and teachers about the show.
Uncle Lewis worries too much. We have one more story. It's from cute little Anna Laughblood of Baronet, Wisconsin. She wins first prize for her story.
$1.50. Wow, thank you, Uncle Bob.
Well, you deserve it, Anna. Your poem sums it all up for this Christmas of 1945. Aunt Harriet will get us some cider, and you'll sing your Christmas carol.
You can't give kids that cider. They're just young innocents.
Thing is, Joe, this apple cider is just apple cider. No extra kick was added, which is why it was particularly strange that you and Jack acted so particularly strange.
Huh. Well, it's still good cider.
This is a Christmas prayer. Right before Christmas, a little boy knelt by his bed to pray. Oh God, please bring my daddy back before this Christmas day. My daddy left for overseas 2 long years ago. My mother, she has left this world, but she hears this prayer, I know. It's just before Christmas, oh God, I'd be so glad if you would only grant my wish, bring back my soldier dad. The end.
That was very poignant, Anna. Do you know anyone like that little boy?
My teacher says this year there are so many boys and girls with no parents in foreign countries. That's why I am sending my $1.50 to the Relief Fund.
And I'm sending my $1 to the Red Cross Relief Fund, too.
You kids are special. Gets me right in the old heart. Everyone, you come over to the Colonel's house for pumpkin pie.
Hey, we could sing Christmas carol.
I bet he's got some of that real good cider, too.
What happened to your voice, Uncle Bob?
Get a little cold. It makes my voice get deeper. How about that Christmas carol, kids?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Merry Christmas, 1945, everybody.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Don Hansen, John Munson, John Munsell, Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
Our thanks to the Fair and Square Club kids, played by Katie and Becca Smith, and Anya and Joseph Minch.